Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found at the blog at stutterrockstar.com. And it's also freely available on iTunes. Today, I have the opportunity to meet with another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. Sharika also has a really vested interest in diversity and inclusion. So, hey, Sharika, it's so nice to have you on the show today.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So to get us started, could you tell us who you are and where you're from and what keeps you busy?
My name is Sharika Myers, and I am originally from Baltimore, Maryland, but I reside in Charleston, South Carolina. And I am also a certified life coach, a national speaker, a children's book author, the creator of the Lil Herbie Anti-Bullying Stuttering Awareness Mascot, and the founder of Everyone Voice Matters. And all of that keeps me busy.
I bet. I was getting tired just listening to, yes. to all of that. Wow. So what drew you in? Why are you doing this kind of work?
Because I myself grew up stuttering. I stuttered from the time from birth. Mm-hmm. And it usually takes me back then. It used to take me almost 5 minutes just to say a couple of words. I had this thing where I would be blanking my eyes and I would try to say something. And I would tap on my legs constantly, you know, trying to say something. And I would be open up my mouth and I would be trying to say it. And it just wouldn't come out. And that affected me because, of course, growing up, being around the kids, to them, they didn't know what the problem was. Mm. So, of course, I was laughed at, teased, bullied, and, you know, ignored majority of the time.
Yeah. I think many kids who stutter experience that. But a lot of it is due to people just don't understand stuttering. They don't run into somebody who stutters enough to understand that it's just a difference, you know, and that you should just, you know, be as patient as you can and let the person get their words out. You know, it's nothing, it's a human variation, just like, you know, skin color, eye color, you know, yes. height, you know, but because people don't understand stuttering, often the first reaction is to laugh or, you know, mimic us, especially with kids, because they don't get it.
Yeah, kids don't understand. And as a child, I was the youngest of five kids, and I raised up in a single parent household. So we didn't have as much as the other kids had. So on top of that, and I stuttered, you know, my siblings used to talk for me a lot, but I also wanted to be able to talk for myself, but I would try and say something and nothing would actually come out. So that stuck with me. That stuck with me all my life that actually stuck with me, you know, especially through school. So yeah, it was pretty tough.
Yeah. Well, today you sound like a wonderful communicator. did you get some therapy as a child, or, you know, did you kind of naturally reach the point where you could speak this fluidly?
Well, actually, no therapy. Mm-hmm. Actually, when I was in middle school, we had this major project where that I had to read the announcements over the loudspeaker. And so, of course, some of the school knew I stuttered, but not the entire school knew I stuttered. Mm-hmm. And I had this English teacher. She'd always want me to come in front of the class to talk. I thought she was being mean, but it wasn't that. She was basically encouraging me. So I had to go to the office to read the announcements. And when they gave me the list, it was this long list, and I knew I couldn't read. It's not that I didn't know what it said, but I knew I stuttered horribly. And so when I got on the loudspeaker, the only thing I could say was good morning, my name is Sharika. And I felt like that took me forever. But that day, now I was already embarrassed the way I spoke. But that day, it took it to a whole nother level. Mm. It seemed like I went into seclusion. I was just by myself. So that day I went home, and I don't know what made me do this, but the teacher used to always tell me to read out loud in the class, but I never liked to do it. It took me forever in front of the class. But that's what I started to do. I started to read out loud. Nobody knew I was doing it. My mother didn't know, my siblings. But I started to read out loud over the years. And then when I started to talk, I started to talk the way I read, because that's the only way to stop me from stuttering. So when you ask me a question, I would be like, yes, I can go. I say word like that because when I read, I didn't stutter. I don't know why it worked like that, but it happened to work like that for me. Mm-hmm. And so when I began to talk the same way I read, people still laugh because I almost sound like a robot. But over the years, I kept practicing. And I still do it now. I at least take our time out my day now to read aloud. I never read silently. I always read aloud. And then over the years, I was able to speak at a normal pace. But I still do. I avoid certain words still now, and because certain words still get me tripped up. So I'll fill in that word with something else. I still trip up at certain times, but even along with reading aloud, I had to build my self-confidence. I had to build my inside before I could even step out this box that I put myself in. I had to be able to build my own self-esteem. Love my voice, saying that the stutter is not who I am, it's just what I do. And right. I had to grasp that. And it took me years to do that. But that's how I was able to do it, reading out loud.
Yeah. You know, Joe Biden, our current president, and James Earl Jones were both people who stutter. Well, they are people who stutter.
Yeah.
And I've read that both of them did the same thing. They read poetry to be able to, you know, develop fluid speech and a cadence to their speaking, which, you know, obviously, because you've gone through that, helps you deliver a slower pace. And at one point where, you know, you can progress from big prolongations between sounds to, you know, sounding fluid. So you're not the only one that's done that.
Yeah.
So yeah. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, the reason that you got involved doing things for children, specifically around diversity and inclusion, which, as you know, is a real buzzword today. And a lot of people are focused on that, but you're particularly doing work with children. Tell us about that.
Well, actually, you know, as a parent, when we always have kids, we always pray our kids come out healthy. Right. But my prayer was that neither one of my kids stuttered, because that's what I felt like hindered me. And thank God I gave birth to two kids, neither one of them stuttered. But fast forward, I had my first grandson. His name is Lil Herbert. And I noticed that he used to do the same thing I used to do. He used to blink his eyes, tap on his legs, and he would try to say something. And so I used to help him. But one particular day, he was trying to say something. He was so excited, he was trying to say something. And he just was like, he just paused and said, "Granny, I can't say it." And when he said that, I looked at him, and it almost was like I was looking in the mirror, because I remember feeling that way. I remember going through that, and I was saying to myself, I know that he's going through the same thing I went through during school. So I told him, I said, "Yes, you can slow down, take your time, you know, I'll wait." So he said what he had to say. And after he said it, I said, "Listen, don't ever say you can't do anything." And I was like in my 30s. Mm-hmm. I walked off, I went upstairs, and I cried. Mm-hmm. I cried so hard because I didn't even realize that I still had this hurt in me. All these years, I never understood why I was just doing the bare minimum.
Doing
the bare minimum. And when he told me that he couldn't say it, I said, I want to find a way to help my grandson, not just him, all the kids that's going through what the same things I was going through. I don't want a child to have to wait till they get in their 30s to really find itself. Right. And when he said that, I realized I can't help him if I didn't help myself. Mm-hmm. That's when I went back to, I went to college. Mm-hmm. I got my degree and I formed Everyone Voice Matters. Cause I told him, it's just that it may take you longer to say things than other people. People may laugh. People may even ignore you. But at mm-hmm. the end of the day, your voice matters just like everyone else's. Mm-hmm. And that's what made me, and I chose kids because I want them to get it at a younger age. I want them to build self-esteem, mm-hmm. self-confidence, you know, and be able to love themselves at a young age so that they already know how to grip it at young and rather than wait until they get in their 30s like me. That's why.
Right. Right. It must have been heartbreaking when you first got an inkling that your grandson is stuttering. Did you worry about like that you passed it on to him?
Yeah. I felt like I felt like all my other grandkids think like I baby him, but mm-hmm. I felt like as a grandmother, I felt like I let him down. It's something that I gave to him. Mm-hmm. It's something that I used to pray away from my own kids. And like I said, I gave birth to two kids, and neither one of them stuttered. So it's something when I noticed that he stuttered, and you know, and I noticed it before he turned 5, because I noticed him doing the same things I used to do. But I used to pray and say, okay, I'm hoping that he get past that. Mm-hmm. But as he got older, when he said that, I felt less than, I felt like responsible, you know, and I just felt that I let him down because I passed that along to him. So that like weighed on me a whole lot when I realized that he stuttered. So
yeah,
it did affect me.
But you know, on the flip side, if a child is going to stutter, what better person to help that child out than a parent or a grandparent that has gone through that and that can offer him that very unique support as you did.
Yeah. And that same thing I was saying. And I noticed that prior to that day when he told me he couldn't say it, I noticed that I babied him, but I used to say, I want to stop doing it. I want him to, because my siblings always, you know, protected me. My mom always cuddled me. But I want him, even though they did that and I loved it, I needed it, but I wasn't able to stand on my own.
Right.
I wasn't able to, I was just dependent on them. And so whenever I was not around them, I had low self-esteem.
Right.
I was afraid to speak, but right. I want him to be able to go out there and strive on his own and be able to stand on his own without me kind of patting him on the back, without me guiding his way. I want him to find his own way.
Right. Right. And that's so important because even though people are very well-intentioned, mm-hmm. you know, oftentimes what happens is if we let other people speak for us and, you know, enable us, just as you said, you know, we find that we're unable to stand up for ourselves and be, right. you know, be the best advocate for ourselves as we can. So I totally agree with you that we have to let everyone, young or old, understand that their voice matters. Whether yes. it wavers or not, their voice matters.
Yes, yes.
Now, you said you created an initiative called Everyone Voice. Is that mm-hmm. it?
Everyone Voice Matters.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Tell me a little about that.
Everyone Voice Matters is a 501c3 nonprofit that is geared towards kids who stutter, have low self-esteem, low self-confidence, anti-bullying, or anything that is hindering them from becoming the better version of themselves. So I work with kids with speech pathologies, helping them be able to get speech help. And I do a lot of things in the community with the kids. We do give backs. in some of the low and moderate income communities. I speak at schools, not just in Charleston, South Carolina, and different states. I created a program called CLASS, which is Core Life Academic Social Skills. Mm. And that's when I go to different schools and hold an assembly. And then I write children's books. So all of that is under Everyone Voice Matter. I'm doing everything that I didn't do, but I want to do. So it's just able to help kids in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And I almost want to think that when you just said that, you're doing maybe what you wished somebody had done with and for you as a kid, yeah, right?
Yes, correct. I mean, that's what everybody be like, you do this. I'd be throwing out so many different things, but I said, you know, I feel like I'm playing catch up, you know? So I'm doing everything that, I've been wanting to do with someone that had the same opportunity as me.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of feel the same way. Had I met an adult who stutters when I was a kid, probably my whole life would have been different, because that would have normalized it, you know? Mm-hmm. And instead, having never met another person who stutters until I was an adult, that's why I felt that overwhelming sense of isolation. Simply because I thought I was the only one.
I was the only one felt that way.
Yeah.
I felt like I've never heard nobody talk like me. Mm-hmm. Am I the only person talk like this? And like you say, it wasn't until I got older than I realized, I'm like, I'm not the only person. So yeah, I do get it.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So you're very much into representation. It seems to me like what one of your driving forces is to have all voices heard and all voices matter. And I'm particularly interested in your journey as a Black woman who has created a Black mascot for kids. Tell us about that. That just sounds so exciting.
Yes. Well, the mascot, his name is Lil Herbie. And okay. I created that mascot. It resembles my grandson. The picture resembles him.
Oh.
But the mascot itself, Lil Herbie is the kid that has been inside of me for years. That I kept inside, and I just decided to birth him. And he's like that alter ego. He's that kid that's doing the things now that I want to do as a kid. He's that kid that, you know, and I remember when I first created him, people was telling me that I should make him a Caucasian mascot, right? They said, Sharika, well, maybe he will draw more attention. You know, but so I thought about it and I said, no, I want to make him an African-American mascot because that's who I am. Mm-hmm. And I want people to realize the challenges that African-Americans, he's a little boy who stutters, mm-hmm. some of the challenges that he went through. And so actually I'm talking about myself and all the things that the things that I put out there for Lil Herbie is just that he's for all kids, but I want the African American community to see that it doesn't matter. You know, Lil Herbie stutters. Lil Herbie had low self-esteem, mm-hmm. lacked self-confidence. He had all these different issues that our kids go through. Mm-hmm. But he's here to let you see that you can do it. You know, race doesn't matter. Speech mm-hmm. impediment doesn't matter. You know, so that's why I created the mascot, because kids, as adults, we can talk to kids, but kids relate more to another, like a mascot, another child, mm-hmm. and they feel comfortable. They feel, because I knew that was me, I would feel a little bit comfortable. So I have I created like a little dance for him that he does when I take him to the school. I created my own YouTube series where as though that Lil Herbie will have different issues that's hindering our kids right now, mm-hmm. and not just African-American kids, all kids, mm-hmm. and he will be working out the solution. So that's Lil Herbie, he's very dear to me, he's very dear to me because he say all the things like when he's scared, he's able to say those things. See, when I was young, I felt like I wasn't able to say those things. He's able to let kids know that you can be free, that you can do it. All these things happen. But at the end of the day, your voice matters. I'm Lil Herbie. So I always tell people, I always end it with, I'm Lil Herbie, you Lil Herbie. Everybody's Lil Herbie because Lil Herbie deals with different issues that people are going through. So that's why I say that there's a Lil Herbie in each and every last one of us. Mm. So that's where he's come from. So his name is Lil Herbie, but he's me, the child that's inside of me. I decided to birth.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now is Lil Herbie a puppet or a cartoon character or, you know, what is he?
He's a mascot. He comes out. He comes out. He's not a puppet. He is like you ever see like Door Explorer, off the building. He's actually like that. He comes out and he dances. He shakes and he shakes their hand and the kids love it. I made this dance called the Lil Herbie Shuffle that we do at the end of the presentation at the schools and he's gonna have a show. The it's called the Lil Herbie Show. So, and so he's a real character.
He's a real character. He's a real character with character, it seems, yeah, right?
Yes.
And the kids must love it if he's, you know, yeah.
I mean, they get so excited. They run up to him and they hug him. And aww, you know, and you'll be surprised. I did like an anti-bullying video. And I've had some parents, you know, send me messages because their kids have gone through some of the things. So that's why they can relate to Lil Herbie. I mean, because he's a kid just like them. Right. So all the challenges that he faced, the kids love him. They excited. My grandkids like every time they're like, "Are we taking Lil Herbie?" Lil Herbie's not going today. But the kids love them though.
Yeah. Now, do you target a particular grade range? Like, you know, is this mostly for maybe younger and middle school kids or all the way up to 12th grade?
Well, when I do my assembly, Lil Herbie is mainly for like elementary and like maybe sixth grade, because as kids get older, you know, they get out that character mode, you know. But so when I talk to the high schools and some colleges as well, when I do my national speaking, when I speak to them, I more so talk to the high schools about building self-esteem, anti-bullying. Mm-hmm. So they don't want to see the character, but I do show them saying that I have a character for a smaller you know, age limit. But the older kids, they don't want to see a character. They like, mm-hmm.
Right.
They don't want to see a character.
They're too cool for that at that point. Cool.
Exactly. Yeah, they like character. But more so like the pre-K all up to like sixth grade, some fifth grade would be like, you know, they think they're going to middle school. So they think they're a little bit too cool. But usually like elementary school. And we usually stop at the sixth grade with the mascot. But with the speaking, we start on up.
Mm-hmm. So. Wow. And what are some tips that you give for parents that they can teach their kids about diversity and inclusion?
I always tell them, just have patience, you know, listen to your child, mm-hmm. you know, and of course, I always tell them, help your child build self-esteem. Don't hold their hand, because mm-hmm. my mom held mine. Hmm. I always tell them just to allow them to find their way, guide them, help them, but allow them to find their way and find their comfort zone, mm-hmm. you know, so that they'll be comfortable with who they are, mm-hmm. you know, and I always of course tell them I read daily. That's one of my best things.
Right.
To read daily and to have the kids make sure that they love themselves and let them know that they matter, mm-hmm. that their voice matter, what they have to say matter. And if they have anything to say, feel free to talk about it.
Right.
You know, and some kids don't like to talk in front of other kids. So sometimes you got to have that one-on-one with them.
Right.
Because, you know, even their siblings, you know, some of them don't don't want to talk to them in front of their other siblings. So, and when you notice that, and even if they don't tell you that, when you notice that, just, you know, do that on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Wow. So it's been important for you to create a character for Black youth. But do you share the character with youth of all races and backgrounds?
Oh yes. He's just an African-American character. And I remember when I was, I took the character to the school, and I know kids are taught by parents, teach them. So I took them, and Herbie goes around, shake their hand. And I never forget, and this only happened once with me, a Caucasian kid. Herbie was shaking hand. And little boy, he didn't want to shake his hand. And he said, why do he look like that? And I said, well, what look like what? And the little boy said, he's Black. And I paused for a minute. He caught me off guard because I didn't expect, because he had been like, because I was doing something. He had either been in the second or third grade because that was the age that was in that room at that time. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, it doesn't matter if he's Black. I said he's for all kids. I said, his race doesn't matter. He said, well, I don't want to shake his hand. I said, but that's okay. I said, you don't have to. He didn't want to shake his hand. And I know why I did it, because I don't think it's fair. And I'm not saying it's being done intentionally, but African-American kids accept Caucasian characters all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, my kids play with Caucasian characters. I mean, the race doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But we accept, our kids accept all color characters. Mm-hmm. So I feel as though that it should be the same way. It should be the same way, because we all are equal. You know, all are equal. And
of course.
And it's for the kids. Yeah. And it's for the kids. So I think it's important, because the areas where I come from, they don't have much. I didn't have much growing up. And sometimes kids need an extra push. Some kids need to see that, wow, that's an African-American character. You know, maybe one day I can create me an African-American character instead of seeing like characters of other race, you know, and thinking that child is unable, because we never know what a child wants to do. And sometimes at a young age, kids really, really start thinking about, you know, what they want to do. And maybe it is a child that wants to create a character, but and he's saying, well, I'm a Black kid, you know. Can I do that? Is it possible? Would my character be acceptable to people? So I want to stay true to who I was, and also allowing the kids to see that they can stay true to who they are and still make it.
Right, right. So for that little Caucasian kid that didn't want to shake the African-American kid's hand, where do you think that came from? Do you think that
he was taught that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He was taught that, because kids don't, you know, kids, we have to teach our kids. And I don't believe that that was taught in school, because he's around different races all the time. Mm-hmm. So that had to come from home. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, because he automatically identify him as, he said, why do he look that way? And I didn't understand. I thought he was talking about maybe his big eyes. I'm not sure what he was talking about. Honestly, that he was saying, and I said, how you mean? He said, why, he's Black. I'm like, I mean, it shocked me. Literally, it shocked me. Like, did he just say that? You know. But it shocked me. So I know that had to have been taught at home. So but we can't hold that against the kids, because he's still a child. That's something that's being taught at home, which is shameful, you know, because that's not how you want to show her. Everybody, it doesn't matter if he's Black, Hispanic, white, the race doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, so for him to point that out, that was taught at home. Right. I don't believe that was taught in school.
Yeah. And today, even more so important than probably any other time in history, the world has shrunk. We're dealing with a global world. So, today's young people, they're going to be exposed to everybody,
Everything, yep.
from all different walks of life, from all different backgrounds. And, if you don't develop tolerance for, people that don't look like
Look like you,
you,
yep.
then you're not going to be able to succeed later on in life because you can't shun somebody else just because of how they look.
Exactly. And that's why I always make sure that I tell them that Lil Herbie is for everybody. Even when I'm talking about, I mean, it's just that some challenges that, when it's certain things that I could have gotten him into, and certain things have been said, and I was like, that's all right. If it's like that, then I don't want to be a part of that. If that's the first thing they say is something about his race, then I don't want to be a part of that anyway. Because Lil Herbie, he is an African American mascot, but he's not just for African Americans. He's an African American mascot because I'm an African American woman, and he is me, But I always tell people, Herbie is everybody. That's why, and I have this slogan I always say, I am Lil Herbie, and that's why on the front of his shirt it says, I am Lil Herbie, and I say that because everybody is Lil Herbie. Not the color of his skin. Inside, he's everybody. So that's why his saying says, I am Lil Herbie.
And you make a good point there, about inside he's little Herbie. Well, inside all of us, our blood is the same color, our hearts are shaped the same way. The only difference may be, human variation, like color of your eyes, color and
Correct.
texture of your hair, so that's really important for kids and parents to understand. Speaking of parents, do you ever introduce little Herbie to parents?
Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. The parents, because we also do birthday parties. So
Oh.
Herbie does birthday parties, and I mean, and actually, I have done some Caucasian birthday parties with Lil Herbie. So yeah, the parents love him. The parents, oh, do the parents love him? The parents love him. They want him because they love what he stands for. That's what they love. As long as their kids are satisfied, and Lil Herbie stands for everybody and stands for the right thing, the parents love him. They
Wow.
enjoy having him.
That's wonderful, 'cause you're making a difference on both the child and his parents, which, hopefully, as I'm sure, you hope, that will develop a greater sense of the need for inclusion for everybody.
Correct, correct. It's that's very important. We don't want to exclude anybody. We want to Everyone voice matters in the Lil Herbie series is for everybody, because we have, like, when I originally started off, it was just about stuttering, because that's what Lil Herbie is really known for, and I remember feeling to have him as my alter ego. I remember feeling left out. I remember feeling alone, and a kid don't have to be a specific race to feel that way. So Lil Herbie don't want them to feel that way. I don't want kids to feel that way, because that can lead to other things. So yeah, he's a very important character,
How
very
long have you
unique.
been doing this?
Lil Herbie been around for almost 3 years now. But I always tell people, everyone voice matters. I'm 45, and it has been inside me for 45 years. I always tell people that it's been inside me since birth, since I started talking and realized that I don't sound like everybody else. And then it been inside me to when I got in my, you got to realize when you're in your teenage 20s, even when I was speaking at a normal pace, I still felt like having been teased and laughed at when I would talk to people, I still felt like in my mind, even though they wasn't, but I still felt like they was laughing at me. Mm-hmm. I would be looking at them. I mean, and their face would be smiling, but my mind was telling me that they're laughing at me.
Right.
You know, and that hinders a child. Stuttering hinders a child. That's why I always tell people I said, my program don't just deal with speech pathologists. Mm-hmm. I said, because we can get all the help we need, but if we don't build out inside,
right.
My program build kids from the inside out. Mm-hmm. My first step to work with them is getting to know them, mm-hmm. and hearing them, making them feel comfortable. And then I believe that's the next step to speech pathology. Because you know how when you can get speech pathology and you can be speech therapy and you can be sitting there with the pathologist when you walk over and you get in front of your friends. If you don't have that inside, you don't have that inside when you get in front of them, you still stuttering real bad or you still nervous. It's because you didn't build your inside first.
Right.
So that's what I do first. I work with them on the inside, talk to them because I am also certified life coach. So I get them to understand that they are worthy, they are important. Mm-hmm. And then I bring in the speech therapy with speech pathologists.
How wonderful, how wonderful. And you know, the fear and the shame that a child who stutters feels very often, that stays with them into adulthood. That's why, you know, that's why they still have fear of speaking and fear of being themselves, because those memories oftentimes, you know, they're ingrained and they don't go away.
Yes. I mean, what I'm doing now, and I go out and speak, this is the very last thing I ever thought I would ever be doing. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, literally, like I said, it took me almost it felt like hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, even putting together 3 or 4 words. I mean, so it does stay with them. And look at my grandson at 35. I walked off and I cried, didn't realize how much it was still inside me.
Right.
But I always wondered why I was always even though I was speaking, I always stayed in the background. I would always push other people, help other people, but I never wanted to be in the forefront, you know, and until I realized my grandson had it. So I always tell him, that he's my hero. He like, what, granny? Mm-hmm. But he truly is, because that's my grandson. And I don't want him to go through what I went through.
Right.
So it wasn't that particular day, it turned my life around. Even though I always had everyone voice matters in me, but he made me realize now's the time, Grace. You can go at it and let everything that you felt, everything that you've been holding in, the troubles, you can let it out now. And that's what.
Yeah. Wow. You've shared a lot. We've covered a lot of ground today. So in kind of wind down mode, what would you say is the most important lesson that you've learned from this journey?
Learning how to love yourself. Learning how to accept that stuttering is not who you are. It's just what you do. And learning to know that, again, it doesn't matter how long it takes you to say something, who don't listen. Just know that your voice matters. And I mean, speak and be heard, despite what people may say or think.
Thank you, Sharika, so much for being a guest on the show today and for providing hope for, you know, kids who stutter and their parents. What you're doing is really important. So again, thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.